Colossians chapter 2. And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him, and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. Don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that comes from human thinking and from the spiritual powers of this world, rather than from Christ. For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body. So you also are complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority. When you came to Christ, you were circumcised, but not by a physical procedure. Christ performed a spiritual circumcision, the cutting away of your sinful nature. For you were buried with Christ when you were baptized, and with him you were raised to new life because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. You were dead because of your sins and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all our sins. He cancelled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross.
Good morning and happy Easter. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. I mentioned when I was in the baptistry that today is strange because it's not only Easter Sunday, but it's April Fool's Day. And by tradition, we can play jokes on each other until 12 o'clock, midday. So most of this sermon will be over, you'll be glad to know, while we're still in the period of April Fool's Day. Have you ever actually taken part in any decent April Fool's, I wonder? I saw this particular one that I thought would be entertaining but hard work, and this one, which I thought was quite ambitious, really, an endless row of shopping trolleys around a parked car, which I thought was rather good. The only one I can actually ever remember myself was when I was a child, and we took up to my father in bed a tea tray, and what we'd done was we put salt in the sugar bowl, and he took two spoonfuls of sugar in his tea. Now, he played along, I realise now, as a six-year-old, it was hilarious to watch him spooning it in, stirring it up, as he did very dramatically, drinking it and spitting it out, but doing it very carefully all over the tray, and I suspect now he knew what was going on. But nonetheless, it was a very special April Fool, and I can still remember it. Now, because Nadia and Kajan come from France, I was worried, so I looked online about April Fool's Day, and sure enough, in France, you have the April fish. Now, you can ask about this, but apparently the gist of it is you sew a fish on the back of people, and then, I'm not sure, do you kick them? Do you laugh at them? Well, you laugh at them, anyway. So I got the translator. I'm not very good at French, so I checked. I don't think either of these are rude, so I think that's okay. But we know what to expect. And when I realized that April Fool's Day was also Easter Day, I had a quick look. And do you know, it talks about fools and foolishness 182 times in the Bible. So fools and foolishness are an interesting subject for the Bible. And also, very interestingly, it specifically addresses it around the subject of Easter. Around the subject of Easter. So that's why it didn't seem, when I was at first a bit caught off guard about April Fool's Day and Easter Sunday, and then I thought some more and thought, no, okay, perhaps actually there's something that God wants to say to us from this. And it comes down to this. Actually, the resurrection, is it stupidity? Is it foolishness? Can we really believe that God in human form let himself be crucified and 3 days later rose again? Is it foolishness? And fundamentally, the only thing that matters about the Christian faith is what we're celebrating over these 3 days. So anyway, let's think about then foolishness on Easter Day. We'll think about baptism and believing and what that means. And then we'll just finish with a response again. Jesus Christ raised from the dead. Foolish on Easter Day. One of the bits we can find in the 1 Corinthians chapter 1 says this. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Foolishness to those who don't believe, the power of God to those of us who do. Incredible contrast. Goes on to say this, we preach Christ crucified. And then it says, the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. Now, I've forgotten what it is. It's a long theological word, anthropomorphic, when we give God human characteristics. And this is one of them, to call the foolishness of God. And yet even God's foolishness, it says, is wiser than all of our human wisdom. What a plan. What a plan. To say that the condition of mankind needs to be dealt with. And then out of the love of God's heart to come and die on a cross and take away our sin and then to be raised again from death, to defeat death. What a plan. How crazy is it? We're so used to it, we don't always get it. The foolishness of God is more wise than human wisdom. For we were buried with Christ when we were baptized. And with him we've been raised to new life because we trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. God forgave all our sins. He cancelled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. Now, the word foolishness doesn't quite appear here. But what we've got here, and I hope you can kind of see that little picture, and I'll give you a better view of it. This is a kind of a full Technicolor imagination picture. This is the picture that anyone in first century Israel or Rome would have understood. The victory procession. And at the front of the victory procession, coming through the victory arch, is the guy who has won, Caesar, or the general who's just defeated everyone. And he leads through and his forces come through. And at the back, in chains, are the defeated who are struggling along as evidence that the victory has been won. And what we read here is that Jesus disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly. He humiliated them. And today is a day when we celebrate the victory of Jesus Christ over sin and over the devil, over all the spiritual powers in heavenly places, because Jesus is above them all, because he has been vindicated as God raised him from the dead. This service this morning has been under real spiritual attack. If you don't believe in spiritual warfare or evil powers, then come for the hour before a service like this and see all sorts of things happening and going on that have put a strain upon us. But what we can say is this. Yes, the devil continues to try to disrupt, but Jesus is victorious. And the cross and the resurrection point us to that. Here's the picture. Jesus leading the victory procession And those at the back, the spiritual powers, have been publicly humiliated and defeated at the cross. The cross points to victory over all sin and evil. Victory over all sin and evil. Foolish on Easter Day? In 1 Corinthians 15, it tells us this. God raised Jesus from the dead. But if Christ has not been raised, our faith is foolish, is futile, is pointless, because we're still in our sins. If only in this life we believe in Christ, that he rose from the dead, and only in this life we have hope in him, but it's not true, we are really stupid. We are foolish. That's what the Bible says. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, look how pathetic we are, placing our hope in all the wrong places. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep, that means died, and will come to life again through Jesus Christ. We have victory over death through what happened that Easter 2,000 years ago. Jesus is alive isn't just something we look back on as a piece of history. It's something that fundamentally changes the way that every one of us is today. It gives us each the opportunity of new life in Jesus Christ. So April Fool's Day and Easter Day, the foolishness of God, no, the power of God, leading to victory over sin, over evil, over death. And we've just had a baptism. And it seems to me that April Fool's Day and Easter Day and baptism do go together. It's a really strange thing to do. There was someone in here earlier, I can't see them now, they were quite moved, I'm told, by what they saw. And they said, so do you mean you're going to go in that water? And I said, yes. And do you mean that Nadia is going to be pushed underneath and up again? And I said, yes. And to them, it was foolishness. But when they saw it, they saw an example of the power of God. Because what Nadia did was a testimony. What she was saying was that she believed that Jesus is Lord and that God had raised Jesus from the dead. And that's all that's necessary to become a Christian, to know that Jesus is Lord and to know that God raised him from the dead and to put your trust in that God who loves us and gave himself for us. And this brings us some amazing things. Isn't this a lovely picture? This is baby Nancy, Nadia and Kajan's youngest child. And she was born and came to church, I guess, about a year ago. She's just over a year now, isn't she, Nancy? Yeah. And so we all understand new life when we think about a baby. But one of the incredible things that we're offered, not because it's Easter Sunday, but because Jesus is alive today, is we are offered new life. For when you were buried with Christ, when you were baptized, and with him you were raised to new life, because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. You see, we're not hoping in a philosophy. We are putting our trust in the mighty power of God who raised Jesus from the dead, vindicating him and lifting him to the highest place. And just as he is the first fruits from the dead, so he offers to us new life. First of all, life to the full, a new start, liberty, energy, vibrancy. That is what he offers us. Life right now, in this life, to be lived to the fullest. And then also eternal life, starting now, but with the promise of life even after we die. Even after we die. Because Jesus died and rose again. And that is the promise that comes, new life, because of Easter Day. We have power over evil as well. And this I don't say lightly, because this is something which we have to be very careful about. But through Jesus rising from the dead, so in union with him, not through anything that we do, we have his power. We are complete through our union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority. Christ disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. I was at Watford Football Club yesterday. It was another draw. We conceded in the 92nd minute, very miserably as usual. But we were looking forward to a victory. The wonderful thing about this day is it is a victory. As Paul reminded us at the beginning, also with a football analogy, that is actually when it's all over. Everything was sorted. Remember I said last Sunday, when Jesus said on the cross, it is finished, tetelestai, I think it is in Greek, that means it's completed, it's done. In fact, they used to, when they had a receipt and you paid in full, they would write tetelestai on it, completed, finished. And that's the same as it is for us. The same power that raised Christ from the dead is inside of you. And if we're facing a situation where we feel under pressure, there's that wonderful promise in the scripture that he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. That's what Easter Day is all about. Jesus rose from the dead, proving that he had indeed defeated the forces of evil and forgiveness of sins. This is this wonderful promise. All of us know that we've fallen short of our own standards and therefore fallen short of God's standards. God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all our sins. He cancelled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. It was as though we had a debt and he wrote, tetelestai, I've paid it, it's finished, it's dealt with. Or as some people say, paid on the nail. And that is what happened. The cross was not a defeat. The cross was the victory. It is completed. And that leads us to almost the end. We are complete in Christ. This is the promise. You are complete in him who is the head over all principalities and powers. What does it mean to be complete? Well, may I suggest that most of us know what it is to be incomplete. That's something we struggle with. Things that we wish were different about us. Things that we wish had changed. Habits that we could control. Addictions that we could break. But in Christ, we are complete. And there's a famous hymn which I think hits the nail on the head, if I can use that phrase. Ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven. Ransomed, that means we're bought back to belong to God. Healed, the damage that's been done to us, the things we suffer from, can be addressed at the cross through the resurrection. Restored, we can be made right with God, in great relationship with him, because we are forgiven. Ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven. And we are adopted, beloved children of God, if we have trusted Jesus as our crucified and risen Savior. So can I just say, first of all, thank you for this amazing window to Martin and I think family too, who came and helped and did in some of the labor. And of course, on Good Friday, we just had the cross. And on Easter Sunday now, we've got the sun breaking through, if not outside, at least in the picture we've got of the radiance. We have new life in Christ. We have power over evil. We have the forgiveness of sins. We are complete in Christ. April Fool's Day, Easter Day. The foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of man. Someone died around the time I was born. He was a missionary called Jim Elliot, and he went off to share the gospel with a very remote tribe of people who'd never even met Westerners in Ecuador. And he came to take the gospel. And in his writing, he wrote this. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. It's not stupid to give your life to God because what you get in return is so much better. That's what he's saying. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. If you want to look up the story online of what happened, but he went, he met this tribe, he started to befriend them. And then they decided that they would kill him. And he and his four friends were killed. And then later on, his wife and others went back. and led that whole tribe of people to Christ. But Jim died, and when he died, all he would have known was at that point he'd given his life. He didn't know it would lead on to the remarkable miracle that followed it. But he gave his life because he knew he wasn't a fool, to give what he couldn't keep, his life, to gain what he couldn't lose, the eternal life and love of God his Father, through what the Lord Jesus Christ had done. Jesus Christ, raised from the dead. And with him, we are raised to new life because we trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. If you haven't trusted the mighty power of God, if this story of the cross and the resurrection sounds to you as foolishness, please talk to those around and find out about what Jesus has done, where God demonstrated his love to us, that he gave his Son to die for us. But today we celebrate the victory, the power, the new life, the completeness. And we say together, nice and loud, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Amen.